Good morning. I want to welcome everybody, especially our visitors that we have with us. We have Bud, Sherry, and Marie Collins. They're from Alabama, and they're here watching the rodeo and so forth, and we're glad to have them. It's glad to have the visitors. We got so many of our own number out of town and or sick that recovering from surgeries and so forth. Numbers are pretty sparse today. Glad to see everybody. All the veterans of our armed forces, men and women, thank you very much for your service to us and our great country. Today is Veterans Day, and we give a very, very heartfelt thank you for the things that you've done for the service to your country. As much as we thank our veterans, hopefully every day we're thanking God. We're going to look at a message today, just thank you, God. I appreciate the songs that Kurt has picked out. They're all kind of on that thankfulness theme. We're going to devote some time to looking at scriptures today. We're going to devote some time to prayer, thanking our God for the blessings that He gives us in various ways. We're just going to look at four different ways today. Don't have a time in one day to thank God for all that He's done for us, but we're going to look at a couple of different ways today. One is we're thankful to God just for the very life that we have. You know, we've got a number of young people in our congregation and looking at the babies and looking at the young people that we have, it just reminds us the power that God has, His power just looking at life, looking at birth. But whether you're a young child, we have Kim LaGuy's little grandson with us today that is brand new, right off the shelf. And whether it's him or somebody old, broken down like me, we're thankful. We're thankful for life. I hope we would all have the attitude that if it ended right now, we've had a wonderful life. God has blessed us with family, with friends. He's blessed us. You know, many of us are starting to have some aches, some pains, some limitations. Quit shaking your head. Yeah, it's starting, and some of it started long ago. But you know what? We're better off than many others. We're better off even with the maladies that we have. There are those that are worse off than us. And just the fact that God has given us life, and He's given us life abundantly, and the physical blessings that He has given us. I would like to look at a couple of scriptures right now, and you don't have to go far in the Bible for it to talk about that. In Genesis 1, the first chapter, starting in verse 26, it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. There's only about a dozen different lessons in that short passage. The fact that God made us in his image and that we came from God wasn't like some people in the world think that, although I think Stacy has made an argument that sometimes I do act like a monkey once in a while, but God made it. Didn't come from a monkey, didn't come from an ape. And he made us, and he made the world for us and everything in it. The animals, the plants, we have a beautiful, beautiful life. And another scripture I'd like to look at, Psalms 139. Starting in verse 13, the psalmist wrote, for you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. If we looked at just birth, that alone is a testimony of God. Not to mention the world and everything in it. Just reproduction. I remember listening to one of the old Paul Harvey radio broadcasts years ago. I had the pleasure of working as a young man, as a young Christian, for an elder in the Lord's church in a business. And he and the other man that worked there, he was another very strong Christian. And the benefit of that rubbing off on me as a teenage young man was priceless. And at lunch, we would sit and we'd eat our lunch and they'd turn on Paul Harvey. And I remember one of them, Paul Harvey was going through all the things, or not all, but many of the things that man has accomplished. Going to the moon, the invention of this, the invention of that, the eradication of a disease. And he just goes on and on. And then he ended up with, but none of it can compare with just the digestion system of an ant, which God made. And God has done all that for us. I'd like for us to, I hope every day, we pause and give thought to our personal blessings. I'm going to call Dick up right now, and he's going to lead us in prayer for this issue of what God has done for us and life. Let us bow.
Father in heaven, we come to you this morning. We thank you so much for the life that you have given us. We thank you for our very own well-being. And Father, we thank you that as we walk through this life, that knowing that you are the great physician, that you can give us the spiritual health that we need, the way to walk through this life, that we might have salvation, that we might have forgiveness of sin. Father, as we walk outside of our homes and see the birds of the air and the animals of the land, the trees, the landscape, we thank you for that, and we know full well we would not have that beauty, we would not have these things on earth had you not spoken them into being. Father, we thank you for our everyday life. We thank you for the doctors we have, that we might have a better life, that we might be able to live longer. We thank you for our families and our homes. We thank you for the jobs that you provide for us, that we might support our families. And Father, we thank you for this congregation. We thank you for those that do the work here. We thank you this morning especially for Bruce as he brings this message to us. We ask that we have the hearts and the minds and open them that we might receive this word, that we might be able to walk stronger in your kingdom. And it's through Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dad. Another issue I'd like for us to thank God for is Jesus. The sacrifice that he gave, the example that he gave of selflessness is incomparable. When you, Jesus, a lot of people think the story of the New Testament is about Jesus. The story of the Bible is about Jesus. The Old Testament proclaims that Jesus is coming, pointing to Jesus. And then the New Testament, the Gospels, is he's here and that he died and rose. And then the rest of the New Testament is that he had come and how we can benefit from that. It is the central theme of God in the Bible. And I'd like for us to look at a couple of scriptures. One, we had read this earlier. One of the first scriptures sometimes many Christians ever learn. And it's John 3:16-17. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." He's got to punish sin. And all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. And we know the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. But God so loved the world that he paid the price for us. A price we could not come up with. Not one of us could have paid the price that would be worthy of what God gave for us, and that was his Son Jesus. Not one of us could have taken Jesus' place. Not one of us could have done what he did, because our sacrifice wouldn't have been sufficient. He was a perfect sacrifice. We hear not only Jesus is the sacrifice, he is also the high priest that offered the sacrifice. In 1 John 5, verse 11, it reads, "And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." That's what we've benefited from through his Son Jesus, is eternal life. I'd like to call Devin up and have him offer a prayer thanking God for Jesus and for us to participate along with Devin as he leads us with this prayer. Devin?
Our Father, which art in heaven, holy and reverend be thy name. Where do we begin to thank you for all the many ways that you've blessed us? You've known us and watched out for us and protected us before we even knew who you were. You've loved us in ways that numbers can't count. We can't thank you enough for the many ways that you've protected and provided and made sure that we've gone and survived the trials and the tragedies that we might face each and every day, whether they be health, finance, work. You're always there for us. And we can look in our past, Lord, to see all the things that we've come through. And each and every time, you've brought us through these things. Beyond this, you gave us your Son, who gave us everything that we needed to reconcile us to you. We can't thank you enough for that. You asked for one thing, dear Lord, and that's for us to sacrifice ourselves, to give ourselves to you, following the example that your Son did, to demonstrate our love for you, to give this life to you, to live it in the way that you give us in your word and in your teaching, that we might do these things and prosper in these things. That these are the ways that truly lead us back to you, that give us the eternal life that you so desire us to have. Father, we thank you for the ways that you taught us to humble ourselves, to learn more about you, to come together as you have told us to do, to have the right heart and mind, and to seek you out in your word to learn more about what pleases you. We pray, Lord, that we continue on this journey and that you continue to edify us and build us up and complete us, that we will become more like the image of your dear Son. We can't thank you enough for this sacrifice that he's made for us. We just pray, Lord, that we understand it in its fullness, that we might live it out each and every day to go out in this world and to be a light for others and to draw men unto you, that they too might be saved. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for each and every act of love that you give us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Devin. Just those two things right there would have been, we could spend all day focusing on the benefits of life, the physical blessings that God has given us, the fact that he gave his Son. We could focus an entire day on those alone. But it didn't stop there. When Jesus ascended back into heaven, God did not leave us empty-handed. He left us the church. The church is not this building. The church is not these four walls. It's us. And although it is us, it is not just one of us. Those of you that have been in the church for some time will know that there have been people whose faith has been shaken some by outside forces, but sometimes from people within the church. Somebody has treated them dirty. Somebody has let them down. Somebody has taught false doctrine. There has been a split. So-and-so has acted ugly to you or them. That one individual, I've known people that will get a chip on their shoulder that's outside of the church, get a chip on their shoulder toward the church because of the behavior of one person. And they associate the church with that one person. Couple of things. One, that's a wrong way to look at it, but that's a real way to look at it. Because people do that. And I often think if somebody was looking at me, what image of the church would they get? Would they get an image of the church of true doctrine, of true love, of true caring? What would they see? God has given us the church. Jesus said in Matthew 16, they're in the region of Caesarea Philippi, and Jesus said, "Who do people say that I am?" And so his disciples are saying, "Oh, some say, you know, you're John the Baptist, some Elijah, you know, the prophets." And he says, "Who do you? Who do you, my followers, say that I am?" And Peter, of course, speaks up. And here in verse 18, it says, Peter said in verse 17, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And in verse 18, Jesus says, "And I also say to you that you are Peter. And on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." He's not building his church on Peter. The rock that he's building it on is not the Apostle Peter. It's the proclamation that the Apostle Peter made, that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, that's the foundation that I will build my church. It's his. He's paid for it. And the price was very high. We think, looking around to maybe get some land someday, we think the price of land is high to build a church. Well, the church was already built. And the price was a lot higher than it is in Las Vegas. It took the blood, the death, the life of the Son of God. And Jesus says, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." The church goes through splits. The church goes through people coming and going and their faith waning. But what's the common denominator? The church. The church will outlive us. It was here before us. It's been here since the day of Pentecost. And God's given us the church. In Ephesians 5:25, Paul told the Christians in Ephesus, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." He loves his church and died for it. I'd like to read one more scripture and then have Preston come up. Acts 12:5, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. The building wasn't offering prayers. The people, the church, was offering prayers for Paul, or for Peter, rather. Preston, would you come up and lead us in a prayer for the church?
Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord God Almighty, we are humbled and thankful that we have the opportunity to call ourselves your children, to be your church. Father, we thank you for the blood that was shed for the church. Father, we pray asking you that we will continue to have that great confession of faith upon which your church was built, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Father, we're thankful that we have the opportunity to call ourselves your children, to gather together as members of this one body. Even though we are many, we know that we are one, with Christ being the head. Father, we ask and pray that we will continue to work together as one body, that we might be strengthened and edified, that we might be able to turn to each other as you would have us do, to reach out and to strengthen in moments of weakness, to encourage when our faith is weak, to offer prayers for each other when we need them. Father, we're thankful that we have each other. Father, we know that the church is where you would have us to be, the collection of the saints and the collection of the saved. Father, we ask that you will continue to guide us as we work here in this part of the valley. Father, knowing that your churches throughout the world are gathering together on the first day of the week to sing praises to you, to worship you, to hear lessons from your word. Father, we know the great strength that we have in being together with those who are like-minded. Father, we thank you for the foreknowledge that you've had since the beginning of time, knowing that you would need to provide a plan of salvation for us, a place for us to be. Father, we know that there are mansions prepared for us and that this earthly church that we have here is a representation of what we will have in heaven, where your true kingdom will be. Father, we ask that the things that we say and do as members of your church, as members of this body, will be those things that are in accordance with your holy and divine will. And we thank you so much that we have the opportunity to come before you in prayer, in the safety of this place and the safety of our numbers. Father, we know that the church was purchased at a great price. And we can't thank you enough for sending your Son to this earth, that he might be a great example of how we are to serve you and to serve one another, that he might be a great leader for the church, the head of this body. We're so thankful that he was willing to die on the cross, that through his blood, the blood that washes over us and cleanses us, that we might have the opportunity of eternal life in heaven with you. Father, we ask that you keep this church safe, that you provide for your church as we go out into the world and we are workers in your kingdom and in the vineyard, that we might be able to bring more people into the church. Father, we pray that the way that we act, the things that we say and do will make it so that we are a light to the community, that people might see Christ Jesus alive and well in the church of Christ, that people might be able to recognize that and long for those things and see the hope and the joy and the glories of being brought to you through your Son and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Father, we thank you for your foreknowledge, for your plan, for the way that you have provided for us. We ask all these things through Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. And the last area that I'd like for us to look today is prayer itself. Being thankful that we can go to our God, our Creator, at any given moment, offering thanks, pouring out our heart, sometimes a broken heart, to God. And I'd like for us to look at prayer. One of the great things about prayer is it's available to all. That it costs us nothing. I don't have to have a lot of money in my pocket to be able to go to God in prayer. That I can pray for that we can pray for ourselves and we can pray for others. When we're separated from a loved one, we can pray for them that we can't be right there. That we can pray alone or with others. And that's one of the great things about the church is that the church can come together and pray to our God on behalf of ourselves or on behalf of somebody else. And it can be done anytime, anywhere. In Acts 2:42, on the day of Pentecost, it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers." We see that the early church prayed together. They kept communion as we did. They prayed as we did. They fellowshiped. They kept in the true doctrine. And other than electric lights and a clock and cars in the parking lot, I like to think that if the Apostle Paul walked in and worshiped with us, he would recognize it. But we have prayer given by God that we can go to our God and Father in prayer at any time. In Philippians 4, starting in verse 6, Paul gives us not only words and commands about prayers, but life skills. That when we're downtrodden, when we don't know where to turn, he shows us what to do. He says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And in Philemon 1:4, Paul tells Philemon, he says, "I thank my God," making mention of you always in my prayers. Prayer is a wonderful thing as we go through this week and we take time to offer prayers to God individually. Remember to thank God for prayer. I'm going to call on Brother Tracy right now to offer a prayer for us, thanking God for prayer. Tracy?
Would you pray with me, please? Father God, we are truly thankful to you just for this avenue of prayer. We're just thankful that, one, that you have seen fit to have us on this time side of life, Father. And we are thankful, and we can just take a step back, Father, right now and really acknowledge who you are, that you are the Creator, the great I Am, and the one who set things in order, that you thought enough of us and loved us enough to give us this avenue of prayer where we can fellowship with you, where we can share our trials and our struggles and our challenges that we have. You have told us in your word that we should pray without ceasing, Father, and we're thankful that we're not limited in our prayers and our ability to pray, that we can come to you anytime, any place, in any situation. So we thank you, Father God, that you have allowed this to us, that you, being the Almighty, as our hearts sometimes are heavy, we can come to you, the Almighty, in prayer. Sometimes when things go good for us and we're happy and thankful, we can come to you, the Almighty, and be thankful to you in prayer. Sometimes when our family members are struggling and things aren't going so well for them, we can come to you, the Almighty, in prayer. So we thank you, Father, for this prayer, And we just pray that we don't take it lightly that you have given us this avenue. We thank you once again. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he is Lord. And we pray in his name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Tracy. The lesson is yours. And I would just like to close with saying thank you, God, for all that he's given us. We never like to leave an assembly of the church gathered together without offering the invitation. The invitation is open 24 hours a day for prayer, for baptism, for study. If you've been looking for a church home and would like to identify with us here at South Valley, we would welcome you with open arms and put you to work. If you need to respond to the invitation in any way, through prayer, repentance, baptism, the plan of salvation is on the bottom of your outline. If there is any of those you haven't done, I urge you to do so. If you need to respond to the invitation, please come forward while Kurt leads us. Let's stand and sing.